Hello, Julie. Back again.
Here again for another episode.
Back again to see you, yeah. And today we're going to be talking about managing fatigue and how you help people, like what hints and tips you can give them with managing their fatigue as part of their MS.
Yes, so fatigue is like the most common symptom of multiple sclerosis, but everybody experiences fatigue at different levels. So what I'm going to talk about is the different types of fatigue, how we can try and manage it, and also explain what it is to people as well and get them understanding it, because fatigue is like an invisible symptom. We can't see fatigue.
It is.
And often people will always say, well, I'm tired. What do you mean you're tired? But it's a different type of tiredness to just like feeling generally tired. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about that and then what there is support out there to try and manage it. But it is a really hard symptom to manage. And the strategies that we give and that we suggest and don't work instantly, they take weeks, sometimes months, for people to actually get, then start to feel like they're managing their fatigue a little bit better. The tips that we give you are things to use over time, not to expect a result from them straight away.
It's not a quick fix.
It's not something that's going to make the fatigue go away. We can't do that, but it helps you better manage it on a day-to-day sort of day-to-day activities of when you're doing your work or just general.
So why do daily. People with MS get fatigue? Is it because of the effort or
no? So there's two types of fatigue. So there's primary fatigue and secondary fatigue. So primary fatigue, it's damaging the central nervous system, and that's what we can't do anything about. That's damage to the nerve pathways that conduct the messages. Because of the multiple sclerosis, the damage to the myelin, that is primary fatigue, and we can't reverse that. That's happened. We can't change that. We look at disease modifying treatment to reduce relapses, to right. stop this further damage happening, but what's happened, and we can't change that, and that's what the primary fatigue is.
So did the disease modifying drugs help reduce fatigue, or does it just sort of stop it from...
Yeah, they don't really sort of help fatigue as a symptom, but they stop more damage in the central nervous system happening. Right. That could increase more levels of fatigue.
So is it a bit like a lesion?
Yeah, so it's like damage. It's the lesions. It's the lesions right. that are actually causing the primary fatigue.
Okay.
So disease-modifying treatment doesn't really... Actually, some disease-modifying treatments have lots of side effects that actually can increase fatigue and actually make sometimes that a little bit worse as well.
Oh, no.
So it is trying to manage it and find the right treatment for the right patient. But like I say, most people who I see in clinic do have fatigue, but people have it on different levels. Some say they have it, but it doesn't really impact too much on their day-to-day. Others, it greatly impacts on their day-to-day activities of getting up, getting washed, getting dressed, going to work, doing a simple task, putting the washing on, everything like that. It impacts on them. While others say, oh yeah, I do, as the day goes on, I notice I get slower and slower, but actually I can still physically do what I need to do that day, but I'm in bed early at night time.
So what is the difference then between primary and secondary?
Okay, so primary is that, like I say, is that damage in the central nervous system, and that's the overwhelming tiredness where you feel you go to bed early, but you wake up tired as well, and it's that feeling of like, even despite loads of rest, you still feel really tired and fatigued. And people describe it in lots of different ways. Their legs get heavy, they feel like they're trudging in snow. You know, it's just that sort of it's not a tiredness, oh, I've woke up, I feel tired because I need a few more hours sleep. It's not that type of feeling at all.
Wading through treacle is what I've heard.
Yeah, wading through treacle. Yeah, people describe it in lots of different ways. Snow is one that always sticks to me. Treacle's another good one of like walking in treacle. Everything's an effort to do. And then you've got secondary fatigue. So secondary fatigue is things where we come in, and this is where we can help. So they're like layers on top. So if you imagine like you've got a pyramid, I use quite a lot of analogies in fatigue.
That's
so imagine
right.
you've got a pyramid, and at the bottom of the pyramid is the first level, and that's MS. That's the damage in the central nervous system. That's the lesions. Then on top, there's all these other levels that go up into like this pyramid shape. And the other levels could be pain, bladder, infections, medication, and they're all things that can cause fatigue,
right.
but they're not as a result of MS, but they're actually added things on top. So we can't do anything about the bottom layer, but we can look at, okay, your fatigue's worse because you're getting up to the toilet six times a night, but we can try and do something about why you're getting up to the toilet six times a night.
Got you.
So I could do something about that layer, and then I might be able to look at the pain layer. I might not be able to get rid of it, but I might be able to reduce it down or help you. So we can look at all the different layers on top, and that's the secondary fatigue that we can try and look at doing and try and manage your fatigue. And then we look at fatigue management as well. And I think a good way of explaining, like we're saying, different analogies, and you saying about people feel like they're walking in treacle, but one way I try to describe it to somebody who hasn't got MS, or when somebody's got MS and they want to tell somebody what it feels like, is if you imagine you had a glass of water. So I've got a glass of water, you've got a glass of water, and my glass is fine and it's full to the top. Your glass is full to the top, but your glass has got a crack in it, a very small crack going down the edge of it. So that means you're leaking little bits of water slowly where I'm not. So I would say we did the same activity. So we both got up and had a shower, and my water started at the top, and then it probably will use halfway. I've used that much energy, so my water's gone down a bit. So it's about maybe three quarters halfway down. That's how much energy I've used. You'll have done the same activity, but your water will have gone even further down, maybe below half, because you've done the same amount of energy that you've lost, but you're also leaking water as well. That's not your fault, and that's what MS is. So you've got to put some extra water back in your glass to get your energy up, where I don't have to.
But that means that you start your day
with an
not too far
exactly,
off empty.
Yeah, so you're starting your day full, but you're not quite full because you're leaking the water, or energy's leaking that you can't stop, because that's what MS is. MS is the crack in the glass. But you can try and get the layers up, but you will never get to the top like me, who doesn't have MS or fatigue. I can get to my top of my glass and fill my glass up by rest and food and eating and exercise. But for somebody with MS, that's not quite as easy to do, because often exercise sometimes makes them feel even more tired as well.
Worse, yeah.
So that's how we sort of look at it. And lots of other sort of analogies, if you think yourself as a battery, you know, if somebody's got MS, think of yourself as a battery. Your battery goes down as the day goes by doing different activities. You lose your energy, but you need to recharge your battery. And that's where fatigue management comes in, at how to recharge. Another one is think of yourself as a bank. You have a get up, have a shower, have your breakfast. You've taken money out of your bank to do that activity, but you've got to put money back into your bank to keep your levels and your savings up. And that's again where fatigue management strategies come in. And that's what we try and give to patients. And often we can tell them what the strategies are, and you can sort of see them go, oh, I'm not going to be able to achieve this. It doesn't matter about doing the big whole thing. It's about little things. And there's little things that we can look at, we could change, that can make a massive difference. So if I can say, actually, I can give you medication to stop you going to the toilet six times a night, or we can find out why you're going to the toilet six times a night, and then I can do something about that, then they're going to get a good night's sleep. And actually, that will then help the fatigue. They're still going to have fatigue, but the fatigue will be better managed the next day. If patients are waking up with fatigue, or they're on a tablet, that I look at and say, do you really need this tablet? Because the side effect of this tablet is tiredness and drowsiness. Do you need to be on it? And what are you taking it for? Well, let's try and stop it. Let's see if you do need to be on it. And actually, that might help your fatigue levels as well. And it's lots of other things. So we can refer patients if they come to us. There's lots of the MS Society, the MS Trust, do lots of literature on fatigue, and they're wrote by OTs. And OTs, occupational therapists, are the ones that tend to do a lot of our fatigue management here, especially. We have all the information strategies and that we can give to patients, but if you wanted to do fatigue, it's often good to do it on a one-to-one basis, and we offer that service here. So our occupational therapist we can refer to, where they will look at doing one-to-one fatigue management. But patients can do that in themselves if they want, because a waiting list for an occupational therapist appointments, as you can imagine, in NHS is long. Yeah, so if patients want to think, actually I can't wait that, but they quite want to do something themselves, then the MS Society do a great course called the Facets course, which is an online fatigue management course. And actually what patients do on that online, that six, I think it's a 6-week course, is exactly what our occupational therapists do, where they do it on a one-to-one rather than the patient doing it themselves and reading it. So it's about filling a diary in. I mean, you can start fatigue management off by, well, let's start by just filling a diary in of a week of what you do. And often when I've done that with patients and they've given me their diary, I've looked at it and sort of gone, ooh, why do you clean your windows every week? Well, I've always cleaned my windows every week, Julie. But do you need to clean your windows every week?
Yeah, actually,
well, I do, yeah. And it's like, yeah, but you probably don't need to clean your windows
once a year. Is fine.
Once a year, yeah. If at all.
It's still
little things
rain.
That, like, actually, you could do that maybe once a month. So sometimes it's like a lot of fatigue management is actually, yes, we can look at things on that pyramid. Yes, I can maybe look at your pain management. Yes, I can look at your side effects of your medication. Yes, I can look at your bladder. Okay, you've got infections. We know infections exacerbate MS symptoms, and they also exacerbate fatigue. Why are you getting repeated infections? Let's look at that. Is it your treatment? I can look at all them. But actually, the day-to-day things that are giving you more fatigue that you don't realise, that's down to you. And that's sometimes down to CBT, what we call CBT therapy, which people have heard of. It's about changing your way of thinking about something. So you might think, so you might think, I've got to do my windows once a week, but do you really need to do your windows? And actually, well, no, I probably don't need to do it once a week. Maybe I could do it every other month or once a month. Okay, try that. And then on that day when you was going to do, you can save your energy that day, or you can actually rest when you were meant to be cleaning your windows and try and conserve your energy a little bit more. So it's changing the way people think. And that's where the occupational therapy's come in as well. It's quite CBT based, about thinking about how you do things and maybe doing it a little bit different. And often another sort of suggestion, another sort of strategy that we say as well is do a diary, look at ways where you can save your energy, or what we say is you need to pace, prioritise and delegate. So look at your activities and think, okay, could I do that slower? So say ironing. Some people do their ironing in one full sweep go. I look at that pile, I've got to get it done.
I can't stand it,
but
yeah.
Do you really need to get it done? Or could you do halfway or to the jeans or whatever and then stop? Because does the ironing need to be done all in one full go? No, it doesn't. Does it need to be even ironed? Can you just put it away? Do you have to iron?
It's fine, you just fold
every
it.
Every little
thing,
just fold it and put it in. But actually, because heat from ironing and stood up, actually stood in one position, is really hard for your brain to do. So actually you just think standing in one position, but your brain's working really, really hard to keep you stood up. So you've got to stand in that position, do the ironing. There's the heat from the iron. Heat impacts MS, heat impacts fatigue. Can you just do maybe 15 minutes worth of ironing or 10 minutes and then stop? And then, but they'll be like, oh, but I don't do that. Yeah, but think about doing that. Think about how you could do it differently. Yeah. Could you sit down doing your ironing as well? Look at a perching stool and do that. Can you sit and do your vegetables? Why do you stand, you know, to do your veg? And there's lots of other sort of types of fatigue as well that we look at. So we look at neuromuscular fatigue as well. So I have students who are doing exams and they will come to me and say, and looking at computers, so cognitive fatigue is like working on a computer. You can get fatigue from looking and concentrating and typing. So you can get like that neuromuscular where you're typing constantly and using a muscle group over and over again will just become tired. It'll be like that battery, it'll just flat out. So often they will say, I've got all this typing, I've got this exam to do, but I've got an hour, 2 hours to write or type, but actually after half an hour I'm really fatigued because it kicks in. And then we'll be like, okay, we speak to tutors or employers and provide them with letters to say actually after that they have to stop. They have to have a break, so they'll probably do their exam with just them and the tutor, not in the big hall. So they can stop, have a break, then go back to it. But also at work, if they need that extra 5 minutes of a break, then we can try and do supporting letters to employers to like, actually, this is how fatigue works. I know you can't see it, but this is actually how it's impacting on their work to make them more productive and effective in their job. After 2 hours of that, can they have a 10 minute break, then come back to it? And often when you do have a break from fatigue, when you do have to have the rest, you've got to switch your senses off as well. So people think, well, I'll watch TV. No, don't watch TV, because your brain and your eyes are still processing the messages, so your brain's still working, and so you're still having to work hard, so you will still become fatigued just by concentrating on, even though they think, well, I'm relaxing, I'm not doing anything, but you are, your brain's still having to look at that and process what it's seen. So it is literally switching your senses off. And often we will tell patients as well, do the diary, look at where we can change things, or look at a clock and map on your clock a 24-hour, 12-hour clock where you will take breaks. And sometimes I say, but I don't need a break, but take a break. Because if you think of yourself as that battery, you might feel like you're okay, but you still need to replenish your energy. So after, say, 2 hours, take 5 minutes. Whether you need it or not, take 5 minutes. Just go out, bit of fresh air, mindfulness, a bit of a walk, anything, or just sit down.
Cup of tea,
you know, anything, then go back to your activity. And then you'll probably find you'll get more out of your day by just doing these little rests regular. Because sometimes people do that boom and bust where they think, I've got all this energy, I'm going to do everything, and then they'll have a massive slump. And then they'll be like, I can't get off the sofa for 2 days. Yeah, because you've just used all your energy and you didn't recharge your battery while you were doing it. So now your battery's dead and you've got no energy left. So now you're going to have to rest to get your battery back up again. But if you'd done little rests during it, you'd have kept your battery up, kept you going. You'll have got more out of your day. You'll be less frustrated as well. But it takes a little bit of planning, I think, as well. So if patients are going out for the weekend, then we often say, okay, the couple of days afterwards are probably going to be tired and prepare tough, for that. Yeah. But actually the days before it, keep your battery up. Keep charging, take it easy. So you've got your energy to use on that day. Other things as well, I think something that's really interesting that people might not have heard of, but there's something called neuroplasticity. So neuroplasticity is, so we've done previously scans of people who've got MS fatigue and we've looked at the brain. And actually, people who've got MS fatigue use more areas of their brain than somebody who doesn't. Yeah. So that's why they tire quicker. So if their brain is trying to process an activity, so they're doing making a meal and they're constantly doing it, and so their hands and their brain are talking to each other all the time because they're chopping vegetables or whatever, then the brain starts to think, "Ooh, I'm starting to slow down a bit here, she's still going, or he's still going, they're still cooking and chopping their veg, but I'm struggling to get the messages out because the nerve pathways are damaged." So what your brain will do will go, right, well, they're still going, I've still got to get the messages out somehow, I'll find another pathway.
So
it reroutes, yeah. And that's what happens in MS lesions. So sometimes you can have a lesion, they can come to us, we can see it on the scan, and then they can say, but I didn't have any symptoms. And that was because their brain went, I know, I can't get down that pathway, I'll switch to another pathway. And it happens that quick that you don't actually know it. Well, you don't know your brain's done that because you don't know, you can't see inside your brain and what your brain's doing, but it'll reroute the message. So then you're using more areas of your brain than someone who's, and that's when your brain then starts to go down and out, and that's when you start to get heavy arms, heavy legs, and because that was your brain saying, "Ooh, you need to stop now because I'm really struggling. Stop, rest, let me recharge myself, and then go back to the activity." And that's what we say to employers, you know, they're using more areas of your brain than you because they're having to work twice as hard than you are because of the MS. So they need to stop every now and then and recharge. Like I say, the analogy is a really good way of explaining it. So I think when people see that and read that, and we put that in supporting letters for PIP or for employers, it then makes them think, right, okay, that's why they're tired, but in tired in a different way. Not tired from just general energy and I've slept well last night or I've been out and I've only had 3 hours sleep. That's when then they realise, oh, that's why they're tired then, because that's what the MS is causing and that's the issues. And it gets them to understand and hopefully support the patient then a little bit more.
Because it's good to help people, I think, that don't have MS because they can't understand. I think
they can.
Yeah, put your feet on, and it's not fair to help.
And we get loads of employers and loads of patients coming back and partners saying it like, well, you look all right. What's up with you? You know, we're all tired. Crack on, get on with it. But it's not like that. There's lots of books out there that are really good, but often people don't have time to read them. So a good way of explaining it is like the glass of water. Look, you've got a full glass, I've got a full glass, but I've got a crack in my glass. So our glass is going to go quicker than your glass
because
I've got MS. So I need, and we both need to replenish our glasses, but it's going to take me longer and harder to replenish my glass than your glass, so that's why I'm tiring quicker. So that's a way of sort of trying to explain, because it can be a really hard thing to explain to somebody, and people don't often tell anybody because of that fear of them saying, what do you mean tired?
Like, you're just telling me you're tired.
Well, you look all right, you know, well, I'm tired as well. And you can sleep 8, 10, 12 hours, but you still wake up physically exhausted,
really tired.
And I think some other sort of strategies as well is, and what they do in fatigue management, the diaries, things that people could do. You could get online diaries. We provide diaries. They can look at the FACITS course online and just look at little bits of that.
Is that free?
They think, yeah, that's free online. Or they can, little things like, and I know we've said exercise and people think, oh, but I'm too tired to exercise. But actually, in the long term, that's really beneficial for MS. What you eat will help with your MS, will help with brain health, but will help with fatigue as well. And that's where the occupational therapists come as well, at looking at what you're eating. You know, people think, well, I'll have a Red Bull, I'll have this because that'll get me levels
up. Another energy drink.
But I'll have something like a sugary drink because that'll get me, and yeah, you will. You'll get this spurge of energy come with the sugar, so you'll get this high, but then you'll just, this boom and bust thing, you'll go right down really quickly. And what you need to do in fatigue management is look at food that breaks down slowly through the day. So for your breakfast, and I know everybody has breakfast, but that's another thing. People say, but I don't eat breakfast. Don't eat breakfast. You are going to get tired. If you don't eat, you will tire as well. So you need to eat regular. And even if it's only a small thing, but it's what you're eating as well. So things like on a morning, people might eat cereal, but if you look sometimes at some cereals, how much sugar's in these cereals.
Yeah, terrible.
They'll say that's why they will feel. So you need to look at porridge, say, and I know everybody's, you know, as a fan of porridge, or Weetabix, that actually breaks down sugar slowly. So actually you feel full, quite full for a long time after porridge. So you're not going to snack on a biscuit, because actually you do feel quite full because it's breaking down slowly. That actually by the time you come to feeling hungry, it's about nearly lunchtime anyway, or mid-morning when you might have a snack anyway. So it times it right, so you're not snacking loads in between to get that lift of that sugar again. And it's other things like brown breads, seeded breads, not white breads. White breads full of sugar. So it's looking at what you're eating, decaf, then caffeinated, because that'll be irritating your blood at that matter, but while you're up on a night as well. The times you're drinking, how much you're drinking, and what the foods are, all that, but that's what a lot of the fatigue management looks at as well. Like, actually, how much are you eating in a day? You're not eating enough because you've not got enough energy going there. And you need to store your energy up as well. But it's about what you're eating as well. And there are little things that people can already do. But again, people say, well, I've done a week on porridge or whatever and I've not noticed a difference. You're not going to notice a difference. You need to give it over weeks and time, and gradually you'll then start to see
a little bit
of a difference. Yeah, it is a long process. And then you'll start to see a little bit more. Oh, yeah, actually, I've got a little bit more energy. Oh, yeah, I noticed I went out and I wasn't as tired when I got back as what I normally would, because I paced myself, prioritised that week, delegated to my husband to do that job, because then it meant I had got a chance to have a rest so that I could do whatever. But it don't work for everyone, because lots of people do try it and come back. And I think the thing is as well, it's you've got to keep it going. So a lot of people will try it for a bit, but it's easy to come out of something and go back to your old ways. Or
it is very easy.
It is hard, isn't it? You know, and I can understand that as well. But it is about trying to change and keep up with it. It's looking at equipment for preparing food. Can you save some energy there than chopping? Get a blender chopper. You know, just things like that. You can just press a button. Stupid as it seems, but actually you've saved quite a bit of energy by, because that neuromuscular fatigue of chopping, a continuous chopping, you are working extra your muscles and your brain really hard. So it is looking often at the bigger picture of simple things, but actually might seem, oh, that's not going to change anything, but it will in the long term. But it's about keeping up with it as well.
Thank you very much.
What I haven't mentioned, actually, there is treatments, there's medication. Medication's not 100% that it'll work either as well. But if they come back and say, look, I'm trying, but actually it's really affecting my job, or it's really affecting this, then we have got an option. And then we might have referred them to fatigue management. So we say, okay, let's refer you to fatigue management. But then we do have an option of medication that we can try. One particular medication is called amantadine, which is used in fatigue, which we now can use. It's been approved by NICE. And actually, amantadine is actually for Parkinson's. It's actually a Parkinson's tablet, but it was proven to sort of help with fatigue levels and give you more energy.
That's a neurological thing.
That's a neurological thing. And a lot of Parkinson's patients can either be what they call on or off. So they can be on, but they can be off means that they can't move. But sometimes fatigue, stuff to keep them going, helps them keep them going a little bit. So amantadine we have used, and I do prescribe it, but it doesn't work for everybody. For some patients, they've tried it, it was amazing. Then after a while, they noticed it wasn't was it doing anything? And you're like, okay.
Might get used to it.
Yeah,
so
but it might not be. Right. It's not... It can work for some, but it doesn't work for everybody. But if they've tried and we've said, okay, look, you have tried, you have done this, let's give this a go if you want. It's an option for you. You don't have to try it. You can just carry on doing fatigue management strategies, but we can try it. There's lots of side effects with it, so it doesn't always agree with everybody either as well. So we have to go through that with them. And I would say, if I do prescribe it for patients, if it doesn't work in the first 4 to 5 weeks of being on it, probably not going to do anything.
It won't help.
So stop
right.
it. There's no point taking a tablet for the sake of taking a tablet. No, but if you get a response in the first sort of 4, 5, 6 weeks, then let's just keep going a little bit longer. Don't have to be on it all the time, but let's keep going because it has helped you. And it's a tablet you take initially once a day for 2 weeks, and then you go up to twice a day and you take it before lunch, because it does give you that feeling of energy, and we want you to be able to sleep at night time as well, because
that's
really
true.
Important as well. Stop so you don't want to be like, woo!
Buzzing at night time. Yeah.
But I've had patients go on it and it's worked. I've had patients go on it and they've not tolerated it, and I've had patients go on it and said they've not noticed a complete difference and noticed no difference at all. So we've stopped. So it is an option to look at. It's not going to work for everybody every time, but it is part of something we can look at offering alongside fatigue management. But they would have to carry on their fatigue management. Sometimes the two together,
as well. Right.
Yeah, can work. It is the most common symptom, but it is a really difficult symptom to manage as well, because there is no real tablet as such to say, take this and your fatigue will be so much better.
Very,
I wish there was.
Difficult symptom to understand.
Yeah, it is a difficult symptom to understand, and difficult symptom to often to manage, and it's quite a lot of self-managing from the patient to do it. You know, we can give them the expertise and the advice, and we can reassess them and assess and look at medication and everything else they're on and try and work out on them layers. But actually, it's down to them to do it, to use the strategies themselves to sort of see a difference in a long term. It's not going to happen immediately, but over the long term, it can help, and it has helped a lot of patients in the past.
Thank you very much. We will return
for another one. What next?
A further episode.
Yes.
Something different this time, another symptom.
Yeah. No worries.
No, thank you, Julie.
You're welcome.